Guided by the Quran's light, we find our way. Guided by the Quran's light, we find our way to success in this life and a brighter day. To success in this life and a brighter day.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Success in the Holy Quran. And as you learned from the previous episode, in this program of ours, we are giving Quranic advice, advice derived from the Quran on how to gain success, how to be successful, how to achieve our aims and objectives in life. So stay tuned, inshallah. Let's first hear an excellence of reciting Salat ala Nabi. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, The one who recites Salat upon me once, Allah Ta'ala showers 10 mercies upon him. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In this episode, we are going to be continuing from where we left off in the previous episode. In the previous episode, we discussed a verse of Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Surah Baqarah 216. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. كتب عليكم القتال وهو كره لكم وعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا وهو خير لكم وعسى أن تحبوا شيئا وهو شر لكم والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون Now we discussed in the previous episode that this verse is about striving in the way of Allah for battle. But the latter part of the verse. So, after the first command, Allah Ta'ala mentions that there are times when insan dislikes something, but that thing is better for him. And there are things that insan likes, he wants that thing to happen, he wants to attain that thing. But, in reality, that thing is not better for him. Now, in the last episode, we discussed how we can minimize our losses. We can minimize harmful effects of our decisions. Because how do we know for sure whether something is better for us or something is worse for us? So we discussed how the Quran tells us to assign all our affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ And I assign my affair to Allah. Now when you do that, when you do i'tiraf, when you acknowledge, when you confess that you as a person are weak and that you might very well make mistakes in your decisions and those decisions will result in unfavorable outcomes, then what do? You say, Ya Allah, I cannot do this. I'm not clever enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not intelligent enough. But Ya Allah, you are alim, all knowledgeable. You are hakim, all wise. Ya Allah, you do that which is better for me. Ya Allah, praise barakah in our intentions. Barakah, blessings in our endeavors. So number one, we show the height of ubudiyyah servitude by handing all our affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we discussed how the Quran tells us a formula about how to attain divine help. When we're making decisions, when we're doing things, if we want the divine help to accompany that decision, then there are certain things we can do. The Quran tells us, again in Surah Baqarah, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ And seek help from sabr and salah. We discussed how these are two things which, if a person succeeds in seeking help from them, then inshallah, he will have positive outcomes in his life. But that's the test. That's the difficult bit. Can people exhibit patience when they're going through calamities? Can they demonstrate that sabr? A lot of the times we've seen that they cannot. we in this day and age are used to so much ease, so many facilities, so many things at the click of a finger. Everything can be arranged according to our liking. But when certain things don't go our way, and that's the will of Allah in regards to us, then we begin to complain. We begin to tell people about our matters. Oh, I'm going through this, I'm going through that, I haven't had a peaceful night's sleep in ages, I'm constantly stressed, I'm this, I'm that. And we don't know all the while that this thing that we're going through is actually better for us. Allah has placed great goodness in that. When you study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, you realize that whenever our beloved alayhi salatu wasalam faced any trial, any difficulty, anything that gave him a bit of grief, then what would he do? He would turn towards salah. Because salah is the cure. The Quran tells us, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. You want divine aid? Offer salah. That includes your fara'id, that includes the wajib prayer, witr, that includes the sunan, that includes nawafil, salatul hajat, etc. But bow your head on the floor. Show your lowliness, your brokenness. Show your humbleness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala's divine help will certainly reach you. So salah is something that we must cling on to. And then after that, we spoke about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam aided his sahaba on multiple occasions throughout his blessed life. The sahaba knew that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was their port of call at the time of difficulty. They knew that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not disappoint them, that they could go to him, they could mention their problems, and he would find a hal, a solution for those problems, or he would make dua for them and that problem would be removed and alleviated. So once what happened, a companion, he came to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The narrator of this hadith is Sayyiduna Uthman bin Hunayf radiyallahu ta'ala. The companion says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I don't have eyesight, meaning he was blind. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want my eyesight, I want to be able to see. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised him to be patient. He said, either you be patient or I teach you something by means of which you can supplicate to Allah, you can worship Allah, and your problem will be relieved. You will gain your eyesight back. So this companion said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me that amal. Tell me that action, which if I do, I will attain my eyesight. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to offer two cycles of prayer, having performed ablution, of course, and then recite a particular dua. We covered that dua in the previous episode. It's famously known as dua ut-tawassul, the dua whereby you're seeking an intermediation in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is that intermediary? None other than our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this dua was taught, Allahumma inni as'aluka wa atawajjahu ilayka bi nabiyyika Muhammadin nabiyyi rahma. Ya Rasulullah inni tawajjahtu bika ila rabbi fi hajati hadhihi lituqda li Allahumma fashaffi'hu fiyya. Now when the companion obviously purified himself, offered the salah, and then made this dua, the narrator states, we had not even got up except that the dua was accepted. And this companion who came to the court of the Prophet ﷺ in a state that he was blind, he did not have eyesight, he left having regained his eyesight. And it was as if he had never been blind. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So we make this dua. We use this dua of tawassul in our life. Now when we ever have to make a decision regarding our finances, our family, our important matters in life, marriage, business partnerships, or anything, any key decisions, we make this dua of tawassul. We do as the Prophet ﷺ instructed this companion to do. We offer two cycles of prayer. And when we make this dua of tawassul, inshallah, the right outcome will occur. We will make the right decision. We will do that which is better for us, inshallah, Hul Aziz. Another thing which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed, so this is prophetic advice now, is to seek goodness from the court of Allah. And in Arabic, we refer to that as istikhara. People know about the famous Salatul Istikhara. This is a method taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Istikhara means to seek goodness. To seek goodness from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have an important decision to make. You want to be guided as to what course of action is best, whether doing something is better for you or not. And there's a whole method again, that you offer your salah, 2 rak'at prayer, obviously after performing ablution, wudu, and then you make a dua of istikhara. Muslims across the globe and throughout the centuries have been following this prophetic advice. The dua is as follows.
اللهم إني أستخيرك بعلمك وأستقدرك بقدرتك وأسألك من فضلك العظيم فإنك تقدر ولا أقدر وتعلم ولا أعلم وأنت علام الغيوب اللهم إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر خير لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري وعاجل أمري وآجله فاقدره لي ويسره لي ثم بارك لي فيه وإن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر شر لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري وعاجل أمري وآجله فاصرفه عني واصرفني عنه واقتل لي الخير حيث كان ثم ردني به.
So this was a comprehensive dua that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has taught. And we should use this istikhara, salatul istikhara, to seek goodness in our lives. Whenever we have key decisions, important decisions in life, we should follow the istikhara. And obviously, the scholars say that the way the istikhara works is your heart will be inclined to the decision which is more better for you, or the option which is more better for you. So this is something we should do with full certainty. And we should do it with full yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us guidance. So, we've covered tafreed ilallah, handing our affairs over to Allah. We also discussed istikhara just now. And what else can we do to ensure that our decisions work in our favor? They do not backfire, they do not become a means of sorrow for us or a means of failure. That thing which I'm about to mention right now, this is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what I'm referring to is mashwara, seeking advice or consulting with others. Now the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he was the most intelligent, he is the most intelligent in all of creation, yet look at his humbleness and look at how he's teaching the ummah about mashwara, that he himself would seek the mashwara of the companions. This was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran, verse 159. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And this is despite the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most intelligent. Whatever decision he makes is the best, without any shadow of doubt. But yet Allah ta'ala is saying to his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you should seek advice or mashwara from others regarding your matter. And another verse of the Quran, it tells us how this was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way of the Muslims, the way of the Sahaba. Wa amruhum shura bainahum, and their matter is what? Mutual consultation between them. So this is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what we should implement in our lives, consultation. And this can take place in most of our matters and affairs within the home. Husband and wife should consult with one another. Brothers should consult with one another. Parents and children in the workplace. And you do find this in the workplace. People have boardrooms, meetings take place. And a person, when he enters those meetings, he has certain points in his mind. Very soon he realizes that those points have weaknesses attached to them. His eyes open. So because of consultation, so many things are learnt, so many perspectives are seen which were not seen before that. So in the home, a wife and a husband, they should consult with one another, they should create this kind of environment. Similarly, other relationships as well. Otherwise, if there's no consultation, things go wrong, things go pear-shaped, then people start playing the blame game. I told you not to do this, or why did you do this? You silly, you know, you've caused a lot of harm, you've done this, you've done that. So if there's consultation, mashura beforehand, people are in agreement regarding something, and then you do something, and it doesn't go according to plan, then at least you can say, Alhamdulillah, we tried. It wasn't meant to be. And maybe we will try next time. I'm going to learn from this situation, and we will succeed. So Allah Ta'ala has placed barakah in mashwara, in consultation. But remember, it goes without saying that not everybody is ahl, not everybody is capable of giving a mashwara. So someone who's ignorant, someone who's not smart in matters that you are trying to resolve or discuss, you're not going to seek mashwara from him. You're going to go to a person who can help you in the best way possible, who's experienced what you're going through, who knows about what you're going through, who's dealt with such cases before. He can give a mashwara, a suggestion which will most definitely help you. And this is part of knowing when to ask, who to ask, where to ask. And this comes with experience, but this is also something that cannot be overlooked. Another thing the Quran tells us about in regards to our affairs, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever places his reliance upon Allah, Allah is sufficient for him. So when you do something, have full yaqeen, full reliance upon the court of Allah. Ya Allah, you will help me, you will assist me, you will aid me. I have full reliance upon you. I have full tawakkul upon you. So you do the effort, you plan things, implement them, leave the result to Allah. Again, whether that's to do with your shop, whether that's to do with your family life, whether that's to do with your marital life, whether that's to do with arranging a function, whatever it is, do your best, leave the results to Allah. And the more positively we think about our Creator, the more blessings we will attain. It's all about our outlook. Allah Ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ. Indeed, Allah Ta'ala says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. That I deal with my slave in accordance to what he thinks about me. إِنْ خَيْرًا فَخَيْرٌ إِنْ شَرًّا فَشَرٌ. If he thinks good of me, then good will happen. If he thinks bad of me, then bad will happen. So it depends on your outlook, your thinking about your Creator, your assumption regarding your Creator. And it goes without saying that we should have a positive assumption. It's wajib to have husnul dhan regarding our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to summarize, in this episode, we spoke about how to ensure our matters are concluded in the best way possible for us. We adopt means, we perform salatul istikhara, we do the dua of tawassul, we consult with other people, intelligent people, people who know what we're going through. They can help us. They have that expertise. And lastly, we spoke about having full reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I'm going to do this and Allah will help me. His aid will definitely help me. So depending on your level of tawakkul, you will be helped. And for this, you need to have a very positive assumption regarding your Creator, which is wajib anyway. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to have the utmost level of husnul dhan regarding Him Jalla Jalaluhu, to place all our trust in Him, to seek mashura of those who are ahl, are worthy of giving mashura, to perform salatul istikhara and the other formulas that have been mentioned in these episodes. Ameen, bijahin nabil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Guided by the Quran's light, we find our way. Guided by the Quran's light, we find our way to success in this life and a brighter day. To success in this life and a brighter day.